I'm Gene Kansas. You're listening to Sidewalk Radio. We explore the cultural and physical development of life in the modern city through the lens of history and the context of community. Today's show, a Thanksgiving special with the Soul Queen of New Orleans, Irma Thomas. Brought to you by Perkins & Will and Hirsch Bednar Associates.
Ruler of my heart, robber of my soul, where can you be? I wait patiently. My heart cries out.
Hello.
Well, my prayers have been answered. Is this the Soul Queen of New Orleans?
Of course it's me.
I'm so happy to be talking to you.
My pleasure, my pleasure.
Irma Thomas, I got to tell you a quick story. Every year for Thanksgiving on Sidewalk Radio, we do a little show. In doing so, we've had a lot of conversations about what we're thankful for. And this year, I was sitting around the house listening to your music, as I am prone to do. And I said, you know what? I'm thankful for Irma Thomas. Thank you for joining.
It's my pleasure, and I'm glad you're thankful for me because I'm thankful to still be around.
When you said you're thankful for, you know, for being here.
Because in recent years, so many of our local, well-known and not-so-well-known musicians who've been around the city playing for years and years have been dying off, and so, you know, it's a blessing to still be around and still being a viable entertainer. So that's why I say I'm thankful to still be around.
You think back on a 50-plus year career, as far as decades of music making go, has one meant more to you than the others?
Not really. When you look at it from that perspective, no, because I do choose songs because they tell good stories. Overall, most of the songs that I've ever recorded, I've been pretty much okay with, because I chose them because of the stories that they tell or something that I can relate to with them. Because of realizing that I have to live with those songs for a long time, I want to make sure I like them enough to want to sing them again.
You have audiences of all ages. Do you think that there's a reason that they prefer that time? Is the maybe for the older members of the audience a sense of nostalgia?
You know, it's kind of like what you were saying. You have your moments where you like to put on either some of my music or somebody from that era's music, and you sit back and you can relax. You can relate to those times, that there's something about those songs that you can relate to, whereas the stuff that's recorded in recent years, you don't have any great connection to it, because a lot of it, some of it don't make any sense, first of all. But, you know, that's a different generation. So we are generational people. So as it turns out, you know, you tend to gyrate toward those songs that you really can relate to. Even when you were growing up, that was, you know, you may have had your first date and that song may have been playing. It might have been something that your date may have loved and you got to learn to enjoy it. I mean, there are memories connected to those songs from that time. So my audience being predominantly, well, over 40, I've gotten some younger who came on board because their grandparents then brainwashed them. But they like the music. They admittedly say they like the music. But overall, that's the audience that I get when I do perform, and that's what they ask for, stuff that I did back in the 60s and early 70s.
Thinking about all media, television, the newspapers I've seen, the music, that era, it was such a defining moment in time.
Well, yeah, it was the growth period of music. Think about it. I mean, when you were young, and I don't know if I'm older than you by how many years, but for me, when I was a young kid growing up, my dad played a lot of early B.B. King, Lightnin' Hopkins, Guitar Slim, Percy Mayfield. These were the people whose songs got played on the weekend when he was at home playing his music, doing whatever he does on the weekend. And of course, jazz wise, you had Nina Simone and mm-hmm. you know, Dinah Washington and those people. And so up until the late 50s, early 60s, there was no rock and roll. There was rhythm and blues and jazz. and you either was a jazz singer or a rhythm and blues singer or, you know, pop, as they called it, or they didn't call it, what they call it now, country western. You know, now you can't tell country music from rhythm and blues music. They didn't call country western, they called it hillbilly. So, you know, that was the growth period for music during those times. So a lot of it had to do with when the music of black people became popular, the media, radio media, didn't play or wouldn't play or couldn't play the black versions of a lot of songs that white kids loved. And a lot of them used to sneak and buy the records because their parents didn't want them to have them. So there was a lot of memories attached to those special songs that, you know, the ones that you were able to get and you thought you were getting away with something because you had it and your parents didn't know you had it, you know, that kind of thing. Well, I was one of the fortunate few when I grew up during those times. You know, I learned a lot of that early stuff. And when I got into the music is at the time when they started calling rhythm and blues, and then they speeded it up a bit and started calling it rock and roll. Well, it's all rhythm and blues. It's just a faster version of it.
Was there a time that you remember just singing your first song?
Yeah, I was about, 5 or 6 years old, maybe younger, about 4 or 5 years old when I did the Tennessee Waltz for the school play. I was so naive at that time. I wasn't aware of that I had something that was special until I got into the sixth grade, when my sixth grade teacher made me aware that my voice was something special, and she took me to my first public talent show. I won third prize. Then she took me again, and I won second prize, and she took me back again, and I won first. So it wasn't until those times that I realized that I had a voice that was capable of something different. But even then, I just enjoyed singing. It wasn't something that I aspired to do in terms of making a living at it. I just enjoyed doing it, and I can't remember when I didn't enjoy singing. It was a twofold thing for me. I enjoyed it, and being an only child, it was a way to get special attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I was never shy. There has never been a shy bone in me. So, you know, I had all those attributes working, and I didn't have a clue what was going on. But I knew I enjoyed performing, and I enjoyed singing, especially coming up in the Baptist church. Of course, you know, you sung in the choir, and that was a natural gyration for me to sing in the choir, and I still sing in my church choir. Every church I've ever belonged to, I sung in the church choir. So, you know, it was just something, a given talent with a given ability to be able to have good timing, and that's something that's rare among some of the newer talents of today. But I was blessed to have a good ear for music and a good time and sensibility. So, you know, there wasn't a lot of training involved in my being able to perform. A lot of my training that I got in terms of professionally was trial and error in terms of how to perform. But I always had a rapport with people. I was never shy to talk to my audience. I mean, that was something a lot of entertainers didn't do, but I've been doing it from day one. I did what they call crossover before they called it crossover. I had a white audience back when most black entertainers didn't have white audiences.
What impact do you feel that New Orleans had on you as an individual and you as a performer?
As an individual, this is, as far as I'm concerned, this is home. Even though I wasn't born here, this is where I was raised, predominantly raised from the time I was 9 years old and older. But I had lived here as a baby. I can remember as a toddler, my parents lived at a place they called the Vogue Hotel, which was a hotel and rooming house. And there was always music around. I mean, there was music on every corner in every ballroom, and that was when kids could go in the ballrooms. When my parents went out, they would take me with me, and my favorite spot was sit somewhere near the jukebox. So music has always been an influence, and anyone growing up in the city of New Orleans, that was the way kids played. They put on performances for each other as a form of play. So, you know, it was always there.
I see in your music themes, of course, there's some, like, love is definitely a theme. I think rain seems to be a theme. You want to talk about that?
On every CD I've ever made, I have a song on it mentioning rain some kind of way.
What's going on with that, Irma?
Well, when you live in New Orleans, we get rain all the time. So rain plays a lot of it plays a big part of the lives of people who grew up in New Orleans. We live in a fishbowl. I mean, I'm surprised there ain't a lot of things in there about rivers and what have you. But yeah, that seems to be the thing. But you know, once again, I look at it lyrically, and if it's something that I can relate to, then yeah, I sing it.
We're talking about things we're thankful for. We're talking about music. We're talking about tradition. And this is the Thanksgiving show, and you are in New Orleans. Are there any musical traditions that you love around Thanksgiving, or any traditions for that matter?
Well, every Thanksgiving for the last 30-some-odd years, I do a show for the sheriff department who brings in a lot of the homeless and elderly, and have a big Thanksgiving dinner for them down at the convention center. It started out with Sheriff Foley. Now it's Sheriff Marlon Gussman has continued the tradition. So I do that every Thanksgiving. I usually go on around noon, and I give them about a 35-40 minute show, and because they have other artists who participate as well, and we don't try to hog the time. We just try to give the entertainment to those who were there, and they give them a traditional Thanksgiving meal, and we go there and entertain them. So I've been doing that for over 30 some odd years. I'm a people-oriented person. I enjoy sharing joy, be it at a Thanksgiving show or at my regular shows. I get as much joy out of performing for people as they get out of me performing for them. I don't sing at my audience. I sing to my audience. I allow my audiences to make requests. And since I've been in the business for such a long time, and there are a lot of songs that I've covered in my career, including some that I sung by other people that I get requests to do, and I don't always profess to remember all the lyrics. Instead of having a big 3-inch tablet with the lyrics, now I've graduated to the 21st century. I have an iPad. And I'm constantly adding songs that are not in it that I've recorded and had not put in it, because I need the lyrics a lot of times. I'll remember the melodies and don't always remember the lyrics. So, and I allow my audience to make requests, because it's for them that I do the shows for, not so much for me. I'm so thankful that I'm still able to do it. I'm 73 years old, and I'm still able to sing with a pretty decent voice.
And you look great.
Well, thank you.
I love that sentiment that you just shared. I also love something from your website. You say, "You, the fans, have caused me to be in this position, and I want to thank all of you for your dedication and loyalty. Without it, I could not survive."
And that's the way I feel. That's exactly how I feel.
Well, I've really loved this. This is one of those times for me. I know it. I have the presence of mind to know that this is one of those special moments and special memories for me. I'm so thankful. I really, really am grateful that you could join and have this conversation.
It's my pleasure that I'm able to do that. And we should look forward to each day with the grace that we are being given, to look forward to see who can we make happy today.
I'd like to thank my guest today, the legendary Irma Thomas. Of course, we'd also like to thank our sponsors, Hirsch Bednar Associates and Perkins & Will. And to you all, our faithful fans, have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next month.